At Mars Community Church version of that. I'm going to tell you a story, and then Melissa's going to tell you a story, and you've got to make your mind up whether this is true or not. For my story, I need to take you back to the end of 2002. I'd been a pastor of a church down in Essex near Frinton and near Clacton for 10 years, and I thought it was time for me to move on. I've been a West Ham supporter for something like 60 years. And at that time, Glenn Rhoda was the manager of West Ham. They weren't doing very well, but sadly, Glenn had a brain tumour and he had to take a break from being manager of West Ham. And somehow, people heard about me. And they'd heard that I'd played at a very high level of amateur football. I'd also done quite a lot of coaching. And so I was invited to come in and be the manager of West Ham United. Now that only lasted for about 3 months because fortunately Glenn was able to come back and resume. The team got relegated and he lost his job towards the end of that year, 2003, and Trevor Brooking took over as manager. Now you might find that hard to believe, but I have some proof. Because in the Fan magazine, it's dated December 2002, it says there, John Singleton becomes the new Hammers boss. Enid tells us about John's humble beginnings. She's never called me humble before. Humble beginnings from pastor of Fort Basoka Baptist Church to the Upton Park hot seat. Manager of my dream team for 3 months. Melissa.
How to follow that? Okay, so my name is Melissa Walton and I'm one of the leaders here at Musk, and I'm actually friends with a really, really important person. So VIP has nothing on this person, okay? They are far more important than any government official, far more important than any celebrity. And whilst I do actually know someone who's a prince of a small African nation, this VIP that I'm really friends with is far greater than a prince. And in fact, my friend is a king, but not the King of England, okay? I am absolutely certain that King Charles does not know my name and doesn't know anything about me. I'm friends with a king who's far greater than him. Now, I'm sure you're already thinking this can't possibly be true, but it is. And I'm going to try and answer some of your questions and give you a sense of why you should believe me. And you should know that I'm not a very brave, bold person, so I didn't go up to this king and just say, hey, can you be my friends? It doesn't work like that. It was actually all the king that did the work. So how did we meet? Okay, well, I went to a gathering of his friends. Actually, I was sent by my parents, okay, but I didn't want to go. That's another story. You can ask me about it later. But I went to this meeting, and a friend of the king was talking about him. And he was telling everyone about how great the king is and about all of the things that the king had done. And then at the end of the talk, he said, if anyone wants to come and meet the king, you can come forward and you can get to meet him. And I found myself going up to the front and joining the queue. And I don't know why, because this is not something that I would normally do. It's quite out of character. I'm actually normally the person who's standing at the back, feeling really self-conscious, avoiding important people, because I'm sure that I'm going to do something stupid, say something foolish, probably really embarrass myself, or possibly just have absolutely nothing to say at all. So I don't really know why I ended up going up to the front to meet this king. But I did, and I discovered that he's actually the kindest, most gentlest person, and they immediately made me feel at home. So meeting a king is one thing. How does that lead to friendship, though? Well, I became friends with the king's friends. I read about what the king did, about who he was, where he went. I went to meetings where the king would show up. And then I actually gradually realised that this king was willing and desiring more than that. That actually I didn't have to wait for a meeting to see him, but actually I could invite him to come to me at any time. And astonishingly, I was actually welcome in his throne room. I could go to him. So if I wanted help, I could go and ask the king. If I wanted a hug, if I was sad, or if I was angry and worked up and all bothered, actually I was still welcomed and I was listened to, and sometimes I was comforted, sometimes I was told to stop being so selfish and silly and foolish. But you see, I didn't just meet the king 28 years ago, I actually developed a friendship with him over time. So he's welcome in my house and I in his. So why should you believe me? What proof can I offer? Well, that kind of depends on what proof you want, because I don't have a photo like John, okay? I can tell you stories of what the king and I have done together. I can tell you about the king. I can actually introduce you to him, although I can't physically take you to the king. And some of you might be thinking I'm talking rubbish, that I'm a bit deluded, and in that case you're probably not going to come and say hello after the service. But if you are interested in hearing more, please do come and have a chat with me, and I'll be very happy to tell you about my friend, the king. So who do you believe? Me or John? Well, we're going to watch a video, and then all will be revealed. So, John has never managed West Ham. You did know that, right? Please. And I am friends with the king. In fact, part of the good news this afternoon is that means that I'm going to talk about the king and you don't have to listen to John talking about football.
Yay.
So, I am friends with the king. And in fact, I am friends with the king of all kings, the one who is the Lord of all creation, a marvellous king who reigns with justice and righteousness. And if you think the fact that I'm friends with a king is incredible, you would be no doubt amazed by all the things that the king has done. For my friend is Jesus the king, who is both God and man. And no, I can't explain that. It's a mystery. But that's part of what I'm celebrating this Christmas, that the king left the glory of heaven and came to earth as a human being, a baby no less. Perhaps you've seen the words, "the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Maybe you've seen it on Christmas cards or posters. Well, that's the testimony of a man called John. And he believed that Jesus was God and came to earth and revealed God to us. And another gentleman, Matthew, wrote about how an ancient promise, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. He believed that that was fulfilled when Mary miraculously conceived and gave birth to Jesus. And we sang about how shepherds in the field were terrified when a host of angels appeared in the sky, proclaiming the good news of peace on earth, because God had come to save his people. It is absolutely astounding that God came not in anger and judgment, but in humbleness and righteousness and peace, in order to bring people back to right living and right relationship with him. And yet the wonder of Christmas continues. And I wonder if you're perhaps as confused as me as to how to refer to the Magi, wise men, astrologers, three kings. That's a bit contentious sometimes, but they came from the east to worship the king because they had seen the star in the sky that told of his birth. There are a great many aspects of the birth of Jesus Christ that are amazing, astonishing, incredible, and quite frankly, unbelievable. And maybe we've become a little immune to the wonder of the story because we hear it year after year. But I don't think we should shy away from the shock and awe in the Christmas story. It should be mind-blowing. And I think it does require a greater response than, well, that's a nice story. Because it is a life-changing event. And so I'm making the same invitation that my friend did 28 years ago for me. If you want to meet the King of all kings, you can do so. You can talk to me, you can talk to one of the members of the church after the service, and we'll be happy to introduce you. Or you can read the Gospels that tell you of what Jesus did whilst he was here on earth. You can come along any Sunday afternoon, 4:30, and you can meet the king. I just want to say, I've never regretted my decision to be bold enough to meet the king, even though I can tell you that at 16, I was incredibly shy. I know you find that hard to believe, but I was. Okay, so I want to leave you with these words, and all of them were spoken about my king, and all of them I believe and know to be true. So it was said, "The mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. It's also said, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. It's also said that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father. He has made him known. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And finally, it was said of Jesus Christ that he who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Someone also wrote, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King, and let every heart prepare him room." So would you please stand and sing with me our last carol?